Money Talks, el otro lado de la moneda, es uno de los podcasts de inversiones y finanzas en español más escuchados en Latinoamérica.
Los tres co-hosts tenemos una experiencia conjunta en el sector de más de 45 años.
En Money Talks revisamos la coyuntura económica, financiera y política y muchos temas más.
Todo con un toque de cultura y de humor único en el mercado latinoamericano.
Escúchanos en tu plataforma de podcast preferida todos los lunes y miércoles, llueva, truene o relampague.
Sintonízanos, sé parte de la mejor comunidad del mundo hispanoparlante en finanzas y ponte al día con Money Talks, el otro lado de la moneda.
This is an honor, a huge honor. We saw the film yesterday and it's fantastic. So I want to start asking you, as a filmmaker, to direct the first film of a franchise like Dune is such a difficult task because you have to plant the theme, the tone, the characters, the world, the atmosphere, the look and feel, etc. And you have done that in a masterful way in the first part. So what was your biggest challenge as a filmmaker in this second part?
It's true that when I did the first part, as you said, it was like, in a way, part one, in a way, was more difficult because I had, as you said, to introduce all the ideas. Then for part two, I left, all the fun was there. So, but that, with that fun came a lot of technical challenge. The part one, I think there's like, you look at the movie, there's maybe one cinematic moment that required a lot of R&D, a lot of thinking. In part two, I think there are six or seven. It's a much more complex movie that we've done with not a lot more money. It's like the logistic of the movie and technically for my team and I, it was like by far the most challenging thing, yeah, technically. Because I brought the, most of the movie has been shot in the desert with natural light. And it meant that, it was not easy.
And considering how many technical variables you have, how do you manage delegating on such a massive project like this? Are there some process that you just delegate completely, or does everything have to go through you in order to approve for the project?
As a film director, you cannot absolutely delegate. You have to always be at the center of decisions. It's a director thing. I mean, you need to control everything. Saying this, for part two, I had to be at several places at the same time. I never had done that before because of the time frame of the schedule and the budget. I was schizophrenic. I was end director and producer on this movie. So and screenwriter. So I had to. The producer was taking over sometimes, and I was saying, I need to find a way to be at two places at the same time because I will not be. Why? Because there, I will give an example. The warm ride sequence. It's a sequence that requires a lot of time because the way I wanted it to do, the way I wanted to do it, was technically very difficult because I wanted the level of realism. And for that realism, it required a lot of time. And I couldn't myself sit on a set. Each shot required sometimes a day, sometimes days to set technically with the rigs and everything. So for that matter, what we created, I created a worm unit. It will be like a little film crew that will be part of the bigger crew, but that film crew will set the shots. I will explain to them what to do. And then they will take the time to set the shots during a day. And at the end of the day, when all the technical aspect will be set, I will come and direct. For that, I needed an extension of myself. I needed someone that helped me. My wife, who is a director also, was on that set and helping me setting things. So I had like to be at two places at the same time. But my main unit was running at speed. And this unit was in slow motion, doing very complex shot, so I was like going back and forth between two sets. That's a thing that I had never done before. That really drove me crazy because it's like that being a director is an act of presence. You have to be present on by the camera. So it was like very difficult for me to do that, but that's the only way I could be able to do Dune 2.
And this worm unit, Was that something that you figured out while on production, or was something that came up on pre-production?
On pre-production. Because when I came with the sequence, and I decided that in order to achieve my dream, I needed to make sure that to give them that maximize the amount of time. So I will direct it. I did direct this sequence this way. It was like the most challenging to do because it meant that sometimes my brain was split in half doing two things in the same time.
Part of Paul Atreides' journey and arc as a character is to face his fears, to accept his destiny, and to be calm, focused, and strong in stressful situations. So Michel Villeneuve, how do you manage to keep yourself calm, focused, and strong in stressful situations? Like, for example, directing a movie as big as Dune. And if you believe in destiny, do you think you were always destined to direct Dune?
I will say that the focus, it's something that you have to develop an ability to be in the present time as a director. When you direct a movie like that, there's like the preparation is everything. The pre-production is massively important. But on the day, you have to focus, always be in the present, in order to give the best to the actors. So where I'm going is that I'm trying the bubble of a movie like Dune. The around the camera is the same as an indie movie. It's like the only thing that changes is the distance between the car and the camera. When you're in a movie, just step. But a movie like that, it's a long set. But it's yeah.
Since you started directing this massive project, has your directing style changed substantially, or is the whole thing basically like before?
Money Talks, el otro lado de la moneda, es uno de los podcasts de inversiones y finanzas en español más escuchados en Latinoamérica.
Los tres co-hosts tenemos una experiencia conjunta en el sector de más de 45 años.
En Money Talks revisamos la coyuntura económica, financiera y política y muchos temas más.
Todo con un toque de cultura y de humor único en el mercado latinoamericano.
Escúchanos en tu plataforma de podcast preferida todos los lunes y miércoles, llueva, truene o relampague.
Sintonízanos, sé parte de la mejor comunidad del mundo hispanoparlante en finanzas y ponte al día con Money Talks, el otro lado de la moneda.
As I said, it's like I'm trying to keep the same spirit of focus and concentration and as an indie movie. But as a film director, from one movie to the other, I evolve. I hope. Otherwise, I should stop now. If there was something about that I felt that in my previous movies, it's always mostly about how I direct the camera movement and my relationship with actors. I'm trying to improve all the time, and I think that part two is my best work regarding pacing and momentum. And there was something that I was looking for, that I feel that I made a step forward with that movie.
I think so too, honestly. And just if you could have extended the movie into a 4-hour movie, because the story definitely could be made into a longer movie, which part would you show us more of?
I think that the length of a movie for me is not important. It's not the physical length, but the mental length. I mean, sometimes you can watch a movie of 5 minutes and it looks like forever. See, and for me, there's no the movie is Dune Part Two is the perfect length to tell that story. I'm not frustrated. I don't have another hour somewhere. It's what the movie I wanted to make. So it's like, but to answer to your question, I loved when Paul is learning about the Fremen culture. So I could have made a movie just about that. So if it would not be very dramatic, but it would have been, I absolutely love Paul discovering different aspects of the Fremen culture.
So in this film, in this second part, you worked with this crazy, amazing new generation of actors like Austin Butler, who, by the way, is fantastic in the film, Timothée Chalamet, of course, Zendaya, Florence Pugh. How was your experience working with them, and what are your thoughts on this new generation of actors?
But I feel that I feel blessed that they agreed and embarked in the journey. I think that they are the four of them very inspiring, hard worker, dedicated, very professional. No, it's like I feel just my talk. It's actors are actors, but I will say that they are like yeah. The only thing is that they are different, maybe with actors of the other generation, is that they are like wild animals on red carpets. They are like really fashion icons, but which is very funny. I love that. Yeah. It's very playful. They are very playful. That's why I love, yeah.
What advice, well, it's basically our last question. What advice would you give us younger filmmakers that you would have liked to be given when you started making films?
I will say things that you've heard before, may probably, which is that it's always interesting to go to the past, in the past, to watch movies that have been made in the past, because I think that there was something in they are more classical movies in the 40s and 50s, and then there's a wave of movies that were more experimental. There was something the filmmaker were taking a lot of beautiful risk and experimenting with the medium in the 60s and 70s, that I think it's very mind-blowing, and it's always nice to see where you can push the limits. And I feel that for young filmmakers, always to develop your own identity by yourself before being confronted to the system. It's always good to find your, don't be afraid to find your own way of doing things. I think it's very important, yeah. Develop an intimacy with the camera, yeah.
I want to end by saying that thank you for sharing your talent with us. Thank you for sharing your stories. You are my hero.
You're sweet.
And I think you're one of the best of all time. So it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you.
You're very generous. Thank you. It was nice talking with you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Good luck.
¿Quieres escuchar un podcast para reflexionar y crecer a nivel personal? Soy Juan Frensa y he llegado a tu vida para revolucionarla. Aquí escucharás sobre crecimiento personal, salud mental, entretenimiento, historias de vida y entrevistas a celebridades. Te prometo que siempre aprenderás cosas nuevas y pasarás un buen rato. Escucha el podcast de Juan Frensa en cualquiera de tus plataformas favoritas, ya sea Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts y Amazon Music. Que no te lo cuenten.